TheTalkRadio.com.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is Showtime Eric Young.
This is your favorite TNA knockout, Tara.
This is the new face of Impact Wrestling, Christopher Daniels.
It's me, DDP, and you're listening on the Rock with God.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the Wrestling Radio Awards Best News Show, The Rack.
We're not acting like we're in second grade. We are working through our anger issues. You see, Kane and I, we used to be a lot like you. But thanks to Dr. Shelby, we're in a better place now. And not only that, we are champions. You do want to be a champion again.
Yes.
Don't you, Andy?
Yes, I do. And after I win the Royal Rumble match, I...
Wait. First, we win our tag match, and then... Group hug!
Giving you unique insights into the world of professional wrestling in WWE and TNA.
Christopher Daniels and Frankie Kazarian.
The
tag team champions.
No, world tag team champions of the world.
That's redundant.
It's totally not redundant. We're two planets worth of great. We've established this time and time again. World tag team champions of the world. Hashtag it, everybody.
The first time you hear it, you think you made a mistake.
Intelligent people know better. That's all I have to say on that.
And it's whichever like two rules you want to choose, it's up to you.
Like, yeah.
Doesn't matter.
Even Pluto counts, even though it's not a planet anymore, despite the fact they found another moon.
But it is still a dog.
It is.
With your host, Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
Oh, my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh, my God, it's Taker.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
If you smell la, 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 what the sock is cooking?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Sorry about your damn luck.
Now this is a story all about how my life got flipped, turned upside down. And I'd like to take a minute, just sit right there. I'll tell you how I became the prince of a town called Bel Air.
And good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you, of course, by MemLanePromo.com. I don't know if they have any Will Smith autographs, but definitely go check out their site because they've got some great autographs and memorabilia for you to buy. I am, of course, your host, Lindsay Ward. I'm definitely not from the west side of Philadelphia, but I'm pretty sure my producer might be Sorokin.
No, not the west side. We're from the northeast side. What's up, people?
And for the second time in 3 days, I have sung that song.
There you go.
The only difference is I was not in my car, and people did not see me this time.
Gotcha.
Nor did they have to suffer through my singing.
Dude. Anyway.
Well, tell me, did you wake up singing Fandango's theme again this morning?
Not this morning, no. I can honestly say I was not singing the Fandango theme this morning.
I have failed in my job. I will have to fix that.
It doesn't mean that during the course of the day it wasn't going through my head.
Oh, well, then that's acceptable. I'll take that. You know, as long as it's still stuck nice, you know, right wedged right in your brain, we're good.
Yeah, you can tap things to the theme. Yeah, it's stuck in my head. Oh, hey, look at this thing. It's called the show. Welcome, everybody.
What's up? So we've got a lot of fun, exciting stuff to talk about, including we've got news, we've got notes, we've got our exciting Impact review, which a lot of fun stuff happened tonight. We got the card pretty much laid out for Slammiversary, so we're going to be talking about that. Of course, we've got our Extreme Rules preview and Pick'em, our discussions, and really Tweet of the Week. And, of course, everybody's favorite segment, Magic 8-Ball.
Yeah, I asked the Magic 8-Ball. It's becoming a popular segment on this show.
It really has. It's a lot of fun. And the Magic 8-Ball, it is sitting right here. I actually did make sure to put it near me before we started doing the show, as opposed to me trying to find it on our last break, like I usually do.
Hey, she's preparing. I'm impressed.
Well, this is what happens when I clean. stuff, you know, gets logically put where it's supposed to be as opposed to me just throwing it anywhere.
Cleaning. That's a concept, right? That's the thing you do where you sweep and you vacuum and you dust.
Yes, I was quite domestic today.
So you were the good little housewife today?
I was the good little housewife today. I cooked, I cleaned, and now I'm doing my show.
There you go.
But before we get to all that, to segue back to the show.
Right, yeah. Lance, please.
Because, you know, I don't have a man to tell me what to do or anything.
Be good.
Sorry.
You've killed the producer 5 minutes in. Just point it out.
I had to. Before we get to everything we're going to talk about tonight, including shots, inside jokes, and stupid references, which will happen throughout the night, we have our question of the night.
And what is it, Lindsay?
Does it help or hurt the Shield if they're given gold?
Well, we got some different responses for that. Yeah, so we have people who say are for it, people against it, and we'll get into that during our Extreme Rules preview later in the night.
Can't wait. And by the way, curse you, ABC, for Nashville and all the feels, and Once Upon a Time, the fact that I have to wait till fall now. I hate you. I curse you. I want season 3 now. And, oh yeah, Once Upon a Time in Wonderland, yeah, looks awesome. I hate you.
That's what she said?
Doesn't work here.
Oh. Anyway.
You know, it's more like, hey, look at my thing. That's what she said.
we're keeping score. That's twice.
That's twice. In 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. Go. Mm-hmm. By the way, if any of us says anything and we break inside joke, just, yeah, go with it.
Deal with it. That's what we do. Anyway.
Anyway, so we're going to probably talk about one of the biggest stories breaking in the week, which has to do with our friends over at TNA, and that is the story everybody is talking about, and that is, of course, Austin Aries and the situation with Christy Hemme. At this point, it actually has been resolved, mm-hmm. Thankfully.
Thankfully, it has been resolved.
Austin was fined for an undisclosed amount. We don't know how much. And he has issued a private apology to Christy Hemme. Everything seems to be happy and golden. I think what's interesting about this story is really how it blew up the way that it did, because you would think that what happened, for those of you that don't know, last week on Impact, Christy introduced Bobby and Austin incorrectly. Austin got upset with her and basically trapped her in the corner, made her reintroduce them, and then he got up in the turnbuckle with his thing right in her face. And, yeah.
Yeah, and we were here last week, and we just thought, oh, it's just Austin being Austin.
Right.
And, well, technically it was Austin being Austin, and he was going, you know, he was doing his gimmick, and he pushed the limit. He crossed that line.
He did.
And, well, the internet's blew up about it. People called Spike TV, and that's where things, you know, took a turn for a different direction. VPs got involved, Dixie Carter got involved, apologies were made, and the story blew up bigger than it actually probably was.
Yeah, I think what irritated me a little bit about the story is the fact that sexual harassment was thrown around and thrown into it.
Right.
And it's, yes, on a level it is sexual harassment, but it's like, really, really, if you're going to call that sexual harassment, then you need to call every wrestling match in the history that ever was sexual harassment, quite frankly. I mean, it wasn't done in a sexual manner, it was Austin being Austin, basically he was being a jerk. That's all it is, and that's what you need to call it, is it's not sexual harassment, it's Austin was pissed, he decided to be a jerk, and that's what he did. He's made his apology, he's paid his fine, let's drop it. But it's like, you know, I think that's what interested me most, it's like, because you would expect Dixie to get involved.
Right.
She's the president of the company, but it's like when executives from Spike TV get involved.
Then we're pushing limits there.
Yeah, then we're pushing limits there. It's like, because when I first heard about it, it's like, okay, well, you know, Christie's upset. They'll handle it backstage. You'll probably get a good talking to, and that'll be it. And then fines start getting talked about, and, you know, major punishments and everything. It's like, why?
There are people out there that thought he should be fired.
I understand that, and I can see why, but at the same time, it's like, that's not really deserved.
No, it's not. He crossed the line, but he didn't cross it. But then again, I have different standards for crossing the line, and maybe, I don't know about you, but to me, it was Austin being Austin. He did a wrestling thing, trying, it's not like she couldn't get away.
Right, she could have easily just ducked up between his legs and gotten away. And it wasn't like he was thrusting or anything in her face. It was just basically he backed her into the corner, and then he got up with her still in the corner.
Right.
And that's all there was to it. I mean, it was... And if you go back and watch the footage, it's exactly what you see. So it's like, it wasn't, you know, it wasn't like he whipped it out right there in front of her or anything. It was just, oh, look, there it is.
Oh, look. You know? Oh, hey, look at my thing.
Exactly.
And that's what it was, and, you know, I think sometimes there are people who want to take a stance on things and blow things out of proportion, and that's what internet people do, and that's what, you know, radio people do. Mark Madden was involved, and he took a big stance about it, and yada, 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 I'm going to make this an example, and sometimes you don't need to make everything an example. Everything's not an issue. It's okay. She was upset. Rightfully so. They should have talked about it. They probably did.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it was all settled that night.
They said it was settled immediately. He was talked to immediately, whatever that, you know, whatever that term is. So it's what happens. It's wrestling, guy. That's, to me, it's just wrestling. I don't think it went too far. But I can see where people think it did.
Yeah, I can understand that, but at the same time, it's like I guess we're a little desensitized to it just based on everything that you see done to women in wrestling, which is really kind of sad if you think about it. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, the prime example is Vince McMahon making Trish Stratus strip down and get on all fours and bark like a dog.
Right.
You know, it's that kind of stuff where it's like you're kind of used to that behavior, and sadly, it shouldn't be acceptable. But you're used to it, and so it is.
Right.
It's like, okay, well, no big deal.
I thought it was heel move, a heel being a heel, doing a heel move to an announcer who screwed up.
Yeah.
Did it go far? Yes, but did it really go too far?
He could have gone worse. He could have done much worse to her.
Right.
And that's the key, and you don't want to think of it like that, but he could have. And the fact of the matter is at least at this point, it is now officially settled, and hopefully we can all move on.
Mm-hmm. And hopefully people do from this point on, because it's, when you go out and you start campaigns about trying to get them fired, it's like, guys, calm down. It's wrestling.
Yeah, calm down. Nobody deserves to lose their job over this, okay? Just chill.
Right.
That's,
It's the internet, Lindsay. It's the internet, I tell you.
I know it's the internet. But, well, I guess the internets won't be happy to hear this.
Oh, no. What are you going to do to upset the internet, Lindsay? What are you doing?
I'm not doing anything to upset the internets, but apparently there's a story coming out that, well, the internet's darling, Antonio Cesaro, is viewed as boring by WWE officials.
Say what?
Apparently, that's the story coming out. That's the reason why he's been de-pushed, and that's why he's not really going anywhere, is because, well, they see him as boring.
Well, maybe that's why they're trying to yodel him up. I can see their point of view in some fashion, because he's a wrestler, and he's not the sports entertainer. he's a straightforward wrestler, and that's his deal. It's, I can see why people think it's boring, and in this day and age of, you know, things have to happen quickly, and you have to catch people's attention, a guy who's a straightforward wrestler can be considered boring.
Yeah, but at the same time, he has a way of getting people's attention in the ring. He's put on some absolutely fantastic matches, not that really anybody has seen them, but he's put on some great matches. And also, there was that promo either on Raw or SmackDown, I forget which show.
Raw,
that he cut, that was just absolutely fantastic. So it's like, the guy knows how to talk. He knows how to do what he needs to do. I just think if they gave him more of a chance, because it's like, you know, I can see their point of view. Cesaro is generic wrestler B, but then again, that's two-thirds of their roster at this stage. The gimmick of choice seems to be no gimmick at all.
Right.
And that's just the way it is. So it's like, you know, to say that he's boring is not really an excuse, because then you've got to apply that to half your roster at least.
I'd agree.
Like, if you gave the guy more of a chance, if you gave him more mic time, if you gave him a chance to shine the way that he knows how to shine, I think they would be pleasantly surprised, and that goes true for a lot of those guys.
Yeah, and he hasn't been given that chance to show them what he's got.
Right. So, hopefully Cesaro gets that chance.
I'm going to calm the internet down now. He's not the guy now. Doesn't mean 6 months from now, a year from now, he won't be the guy.
Well, he's at least survived his first year.
Mm-hmm. He survived his first year. They put him through the ringer. They gave him a title belt. He held the belt for over 6 months.
240 days.
All right, 240 days. Whatever that turned out to be, what's that? 7 months? 8 months?
Something like that, yeah.
Whatever it is, he held the belt for a while. He's not going anywhere, and they're going to give him ridiculous gimmicks, and he's going to try different things, but he'll be fine.
At least the yodeling has stopped.
Mm-hmm.
We can be thankful for that.
Hey, if Lance Storm can make it in this world, anyone can.
Exactly. But hopefully, here's to hoping.
Here is to hoping.
I guess sticking on the international flavor, if you want to. I guess Cesaro is okay on one aspect because, well, he knows five languages.
Oh, he does know. He does know five languages. And apparently, WWE wants other people to learn some languages too, including John Cena, to learn Chinese. I don't know Chinese. I can't speak Chinese. Can you speak Chinese?
Orange chicken?
There you go. Kung Pao chicken.
General Tso's.
Chicken fried rice?
Yeah, I know Chinese food, and that's American Chinese food. I don't know...
Gangnam
I don't
style?
Know Chinese. P.F. Chang's. I don't know.
I don't know, but yeah, apparently they've hired some institute to teach the wrestlers different languages. It's a base, the language training center based out of Indianapolis, Indiana, to help superstars and divas learn second languages. John Cena spoke some French at WrestleMania press conference for WrestleMania 30 in March, and WWE reportedly wants John Cena to learn Chinese next, I guess to get him into the new markets. Makes sense.
It does make sense, and if you think about it, they're going international more and more, and while English is widespread, where they're going, it's like they went to Poland this year, they went to Russia this year, they've been to China, they've been to, where else did they go? South Africa. You know, places that they don't normally go and that aren't as metropolitan.
Right.
So it makes sense for them to be able to speak something other than English, because at least in Europe, the way that the education system is set up is you know at least two languages usually. More the younger generations know at least English and then their home language, but in Cesaro's case, they know more.
And if you go back to our interview with The Miz, he talked about, I believe, you know, learning different languages when he goes to different countries.
Right.
And if you haven't heard that interview, go to backtowreckradioshow.com and listen to our interview with the WWE superstar, The Miz.
The Miz.
He's awesome.
He is awesome. But it makes sense for them to do that. Mm-hmm. I mean, at least to maybe not be fluent, but at least to know enough to get around.
And that's all you need to know, really. You know, hello, goodbye, nice to meet you, thank you, and all the pleasantries you can think of.
Right. You know, where's the restroom, that kind of stuff.
They're not asking them to be fluent. They just want them to know the basics, pretty much.
Right.
And that's all you can, all you really want. You want them to know the basics.
Although I really, really, really kind of want to watch John Cena learn Chinese. I don't know why, but I really, really do.
Make it a YouTube series?
That'd be awesome.
A YouTube series about John Cena speaking Chinese.
It would be... Everybody else would find it boring. I would find it hilarious for some reason, because I'm just weird.
You're just weird like that. I know.
I am totally weird like that.
Indeed. Staying on the WWE front, however, we have a little bit of news to drop for people's knowledge.
Oh?
WWE 2K14 will be released on October 29th for the PlayStation 3 and the Xbox 360.
What, no Wii?
No Wii.
God damn it.
This is the first WWE game in a long time. It will not be produced for the Nintendo system.
Well, okay then.
Well, okay then. But, yeah, they made the announcement this week. It'll be coming out, and as more details come out, we'll bring them to you. But right now, the first one is the release date, October 29th. The final Thursday in October.
Just in time for Christmas!
I should say final Tuesday in October. Wait, which means Halloween's on Thursday.
Oh, we're going to have some fun with that.
We're going to do some fun stuff on Halloween on this show. Just thought about it. Like, oh, yeah, it's on Halloween.
Oh, yeah.
Wonder what kind of funs we can have. Trick or treat, everybody.
We can have all kinds of fun.
Speaking of funs, Lindsay.
Speaking of funs, I think somebody had a little bit too much fun.
And that'd be that damn cowboy of yours?
That'd be that damn cowboy of mine, James Storm. He apparently gave himself a freak injury while reffing last week's match, last week's tag number one contender match, where he was doing the slide to do a two count, and he apparently gave himself an abdominal tear and pulled his groin.
That's what she said.
Only Storm could do that.
Like, it's a thing to do. Just slide down, made the count, and he slid down, made the count, hopped up, and went, owie.
Yeah, and we noticed something last week on Impact when he did his first super kick and he was showing visible pain, and it's like, well, did he hurt himself?
Looks like it, and you can tell tonight he was hurting.
Oh, yes, he was barely getting around tonight, so yeah. And that makes tonight's announcement that he gave pretty interesting.
Well, I mean, yeah, we'll get into that later. It makes things interesting. But they got, what, 3 weeks? He might be alright.
They got 3 weeks. We'll see how he goes. We'll get into the announcement and what it is, and we'll kind of talk about how the injury may play into that after the break. But yeah, as for right now, it was originally believed to be a hernia. Storm has been giving us regular updates on Twitter, which, by the way, has been hilarious.
Which we will probably get into some during Tweet of the Week later in the show.
Yes. Yes, some of his tweets are Tweet of the Week this week, but yes, Storm's been giving regular updates, and it just turns out to be a minor abdominal tear and a groin pull, so hopefully he will be better soon. James, don't do anything stupid, please. Please.
Yeah,
please.
Yeah, please.
The only reason I say that a lot is, well, if you followed James over the years, then he doesn't always adhere to that advice.
No, no, no. But But Lindsay, I have a question for you.
You have a question for me?
Mm-hmm.
What do you...
What time is it?
Is it peanut butter jelly time?
It's peanut butter jelly time.
Oh. Set this up and then we'll go through it a little bit.
I want that to be my new ringtone, by the way. So, you were listening to... Oh, set up what the sound clip is?
We're going to play some of the clips, yeah. We're going to play the soundboard.
Okay, well, for those of you that don't know, I woke up to a lovely bunch of messages this morning. Apparently, WWE.com had a little fun with Kane in the last little bit, just because they have put out a superstar soundboard of him saying all sorts of random, stupid, and hilarious clips, where basically it's, he can make anything sound scary.
I'm not really a jelly guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There are 18 of these, and it's a soundboard. You can go to WWE.com and check it out, and it's little buttons, and you just hit the little buttons. And by the way, I suggest mixing stuff, because when you start mixing things, it gets really funny. I had to resist. I did this for like an hour this
afternoon.
So everybody
got a
knows.
Case of the Mondays.
Him saying Mondays is weird.
Yeah, it's, yeah. He's trying to do the scary voice. Like, you can tell he's doing the Kane voice.
Yeah, he's doing the Kane voice, and that's really creepy.
He's doing the Kane voice, and then on top of it, you can, like, you can tell he's sitting there reading the stuff going, what the hell?
Like, this one.
Bangs are a good look for you.
And then there are clips like that where he's like, kill me now.
This one was one of my favorites.
Your internet's slow. Did you disable cookies?
Which was your favorite?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for holding. Your call is very important to us.
That needs to be a part of our whole, like, if we ever get a phone system where we have to put people on hold,
mm-hmm.
We need that in that system. Just pointing that out.
Okay. But, you know, this one was also good.
Fine. But only if I'm the thimble.
Yeah, it's just like, it's really random, crazy, stupid stuff. Play the cheesecake one.
Cheesecake goes straight to my thighs.
I don't know why.
I'm going to say that probably goes to the thighs of your sister-in-law. Just saying.
Pudum-ching.
Am I wrong?
No.
Oh, and this one.
The new litter of puppies has arrived.
Yeah,
like I said, it's 18 completely random clips that you would never, ever, ever in your life expect Kane to say. And yet, there they are, and they're so awkward and unnatural sounding, it's hilarious.
Speaking of hilarious...
Have you seen this new cat video?
Like that! Like, I saw the LOLs on there, and I was like, no.
I was kind of disappointed he didn't say it. LOLs.
I know! I wanted him to say LOLs. Or LOLs.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been amazing. But no...
No.
Instead, but it's like Kane talking about a cat video. I mean, it's just, it's like, what?
So what now? And then there's this one.
I couldn't possibly eat another bite.
Yeah.
Honestly, Jersey, I think they just sat him down in front of a microphone and they handed him a script and they said, read.
Pretty much, because it goes along the lines of,
I'm best at this, best of us, and the best of our Rovi.
Yeah, because they did the same thing with Kali, mm-hmm. as you can tell.
Yeah.
So it's like, they're going to be doing this with different people, which now it makes me want Taker to do one.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I really want to hear Taker go, have you seen this new cat video? I don't know why, but it would be hilarious. At least in my head.
Mm-hmm. And for all the grandmothers out there.
Happy birthday, Grandma.
Now that is creepy. I'm not gonna lie, that one was creepy.
Yeah, it was. Kane saying happy birthday, Grandma. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yep, that's, and the engagement one.
Congratulations on your engagement.
Yeah.
Because both of them sound like he's just taking somebody's face off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. But we're going to be playing this throughout the night. Hi, Kane Kittens. So, we'll be continuing to play with the Kane soundboard throughout the night. We're warning everybody now. We have a toy. And it's going
Cheesecake
to get over you.
Cheesecake goes straight to my thighs.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I has a toy. It's...
Yes, Rock has a toy. He's going to be playing with it all night. I've ripped the sound clips off of WWE.com already.
So I. But this one's coming right from WWE.com because I'm going to make my own. So yeah.
And expect these to be made into commercials and put into intros and all that fun, happy stuff. So.
Yep, probably. We're going to have some fun with this one.
Yeah, we are. We're going to have a lot of fun with this one. But on that note, we're going to put the soundboard away, at least for right now. We're going to go to break. And when. For right now.
Fine.
Now. And when we come back, we're going to be talking all about tonight's Impact, what happened, what matches got set for Slammiversary, and what can we look forward to. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
Let's go get them, Chad. Hey, hey, hey. What you got, little mama? Show me what you got, bird lady. Show me what you got, shawty. Show me what you got, baby. Hands up and wave. Wave, wave, wave. Get a drummer some. I already gave the summer some. It's the winter's turn. Hobie Ho is the COVID. But just get better with time. I'm like Opus. One, young, no to it like...
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
Are you serious? That's the number two.
That's currently number seven. It was number two at one point.
Apparently it's big or something, but I don't know what the fuck it is. It sounds like a big bang or something. Techno gangway. Maybe the world needs to end. End of the world, Gangnam style.
Weird. Why? Comes popular. Like, I swear I've heard all about this stuff, but I don't... I was like, what is this, like a fucking martial art, or is this type of food or something? I don't know what the hell it is. Is it sexual position? I play my, you know, work schedule and whatnot, but...
Watch the video.
Okay, let me get the video then.
What the fuck?
It just gets weirder and weirder. Oh, I thought the people are going to be showing at the party. Oh, you Gundam style over here. That's a horse you have, that's a horse you. Gundam style. Oh, not the pelvic thrust. What, Mr. Sumi in the sky? Oh, they're riding that pony.
Yeah, I don't want to be.
That 800 million? Oh, I'm scared for the future.
Yeah.
This is why I don't go to clubs and dance, because I can't do this shit. Hey, I make sure the club's staying still. I'd lean on that wall. I make sure I got drinks in my hand, and I make sure that club's staying still.
Oh, yeah, he's going to be dreaming about him.
Oh, man, damn it. Now I got to... You gotta play something else, Rock. I've heard this song twice now. Wake up and start riding the damn donkey.
Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
God bless, I was made in America.
And now, haiku time, with Venegaso Diane, some dumb Aussie git.
Cheap Heat Radio. Not at all ripped off. Truly, we would never lie.
Opinions mixed. Many arguments will be had, but Lita is a slut.
Wild Talk Radio. Home of Cheap Heat Radio. Inside Braden's belly.
Views expressed within, only those of Guy talking. Standard boilerplate.
Got an indie show? Promote it on our show now. Many more people.
Wrestling gets discussed. Pop culture references made. Cheap Heat Radio.
Cheap Heat Radio. Our thoughts may not be true, but your sports team does suck.
We need ad ideas. Haikus are running their course. Next time the hosts rap.
Cheap Heat Radio. Join us at 8:30 time. 'Cause what else is on?
Looking for one of the most popular stop-motion animation wrestling shows on the internet today? Then check out Crash Collision Wrestling, created by the one and only Matt Goldberg. He's the director of Terrified and Pope Against All Odds. CCW is a stop-motion animation series featuring WWE and TNA stars, and it also happens to be endorsed by the likes of Elijah Burke, Hulk Hogan, and TNA Knockout Tara.
This is Tara from Impact Wrestling, and for the number one animated wrestling show, make sure you check out Crash Collision Wrestling, or else get slammed by moi.
Check out the show by logging on to youtube.com/mbg1211, and don't forget to like Crash Collision Wrestling on Facebook. Once again, check out Crash Collision Wrestling today.
Because everybody knows, much like Pope, CCW is pimping.
This is Showtime Eric Young, host of Off the Hook Extreme Catches, and you're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
Welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you, of course, by our friends over at MemLanePromo.com. I know they've got some awesome TNA stuff, so go check it out. And, of course, we are going to be talking all about tonight's exciting impact, and this is brought to you by our friends over at TNAsylum.com. Hi, guys! I have to give them a shout-out, even though nobody's listening to us over there this week, but hi!
Hello!
So, we love you guys over there. And tonight's impact, oh my goodness gracious.
It was a...
wow.
It was quite an eventful show.
It was a very eventful show. They did a lot to celebrate the upcoming... Or I should say celebrate. They did a lot to hype up the upcoming Slammiversary pay-per-view, which is happening on June 2nd.
Mm-hmm. Which is in Boston... Buy tickets now or call your local cable provider. Buy it on pay-per-view.
Yes, and we are doing our best to hopefully bring some people potentially on to help promote that, but we make no promises.
We make no promises, but, you know, I can pull strings, and you never know what kind of strings I can pull about anything.
This is very true. He's full of surprises.
And you have not, you haven't, if you thought what we've done before has been something, you ain't seen nothing yet.
Yeah, we've got some things in the works, folks. Just wait for it. Just wait for it.
It's going to be legend. Wait for it. Dairy.
Yes, it will. But speaking of legendary, the show opens tonight with Hogan. He's out first. And as he makes that long walk to the ring, the announcers talk all about Abyss's big return last week, how they were all surprised Taz, of course, is snarling about Abyss while Tene and other guy who I can't remember his name right now.
Todd Kenley,
thank you. Discuss what it could mean for the good guys with Abyss now back on the roster. Hogan then gets in the ring and he's shocked. He's shocked about AJ running away like a little bitch. And of course, he's also shocked about Hulkamania running absolutely wild in Tupelo, Mississippi, which gets a huge pop from the crowd.
Cheap pop!
Ding! Hulk!
Brother.
I want to grape on that, by the way. Brothers? Dude, there are girls in the audience. How about brothers, sisters, or is brothers just a general term?
Brothers just a general term.
Okay. Brothers is just a general term.
Mm-hmm. It's a wrestling term. It's just general. What's going on, brother?
Hulk tells AJ that if go ahead and join Aces and Eights if he wants, because, well, he's got a cyborg on his ass, basically. Every time AJ runs away, Kurt is just going to run him down. Hulk sort of has that gleeful moment talking about how Kurt chased after AJ and beat him down on the stage last week.
Which was a tremendous beating.
Hulk says there are many more to follow, including one at Slammiversary. He announces that we will get AJ versus Kurt on the show, which everybody pops for. And then he also announces that tonight there will be a contract signing between one Sting and one Bully Ray.
Ooh.
Isn't somebody going through a table? I wonder. But lastly, Hulk has one piece of business. He calls out Abyss. He calls Abyss TNA Savior that he can't... Savior, good lord. He calls Abyss TNA's Savior. He wants to shake Abyss's hand because Abyss has come through for them in their darkest hours, so he calls Abyss out. Abyss's music plays, but, well, no Abyss.
Where's Abyss?
Hogan calls Abyss out again. He pleads with him to come out. The music plays once again, and, well, we get no Abyss, but we do get a Park brother. We get Joseph.
Oh, Mr. Joseph Park in his nice little suit.
Looking all healed up after his attack from Aces and Eights.
Mm-hmm. He was recovering. Now he looks better, back better than ever. Joseph Park. Here he comes.
He is. Strong and healthy.
Continue.
Sorry, I don't know.
You're getting the strong and healthy part. You're like,
Okay. Joseph says that he was just as stunned as everybody else. He's been looking for him all this time, and lo and behold, Abyss shows up back here in Impact Wrestling the 1 week he's not there.
That's just how it happens to be. Travel plans and recoveries and...
Yeah. You know, you're sitting at home on the couch, and your long-lost brother shows up on TV, you know. It happens.
You're sitting there eating popcorn going, huh? That's my brother, Abyss!
I know that guy!
Anyway, continue.
Oh, dear. Hogan then tells them that... Let's see. I lost my... There we go. Hogan says they need Abyss now more than ever, and he pleads with Joseph to bring Abyss, to get Abyss, to find Abyss. They need Abyss.
Where's Abyss? Where's Abyss?
Somebody get the Bloodhounds. They need Abyss. However, before they can do that, the Aces and Eights interrupt. D-Von comes out with D-Lo in tow. He gets in the ring, and he snarls at Joseph and Hogan. He says that Abyss stuck his nose in club business, and they want a piece of his ass. They demand Abyss, and they want him now. Joseph has a rather brave moment. I was quite proud of him.
He did.
He stood up to D-Von.
Mm-hmm.
He's had it with all of them, and he's sick and tired of them bullying everybody and bossing everybody around. He then demands a match with D-Von, saying that, well, if you want to talk about family business, you've got to deal with Park family business, because you stuck your nose in our business, and I'm going to take care of it, brother.
Brother.
D-Von just laughs that off and tells Joseph basically to F off. That was the gist of what was...
Pretty much.
Said. D'Lo steps in and he eagerly volunteers to fight Joseph as he's wanting to redeem himself. He says he'll kick Joseph's ass. He'll happily do it. Hogan warns D'Lo to be careful what he wishes for. D'Lo still, you know, really pushes to get the match, and Hogan agrees, and he does make the match, so we get D'Lo versus Joseph Park tonight. D'Von then tells Joseph to tell Abyss that they're looking for him, and that when they find him, D'Von is going to personally take a chunk out of Abyss's ass. Hogan shoots back and says that if Joseph wins, that Joseph will get his match with D'Von, and he'll have free reign to do whatever he wants, whenever he wants. High stakes indeed.
I like this segment. Well done.
It was really, really, really well done. It was a really nice opener. It had a really great heat to it. So it's like, yeah, this got you excited for the show. And if you didn't, well, I don't know what's wrong with you.
Yeah. We then go backstage. Mr. Question Guy asked James Storm to comment on what happened last week in the tag match. Storm said, just watch. Just watch.
And you could tell the way he was sitting, because he was, like, kind of crouched down. Mm-hmm. Dude was in some pain.
And you gotta think, this is an hour after he misses his growing up. Not even.
Yeah, it's like he stood up, and you can just tell, he stands up, and it's like, don't flinch, don't flinch, don't flinch, don't flinch. Like, the whole time.
Mm-hmm. So he's grinning and bearing on this episode, but this leads us to our first contest of the evening, Bobby Roode, Chavo Guerrero. Solid?
It was a match till the end.
And what happened in the end?
Well, Mr. Grin and Barrett, James Storm, came out.
Slowly. He did his best Hulk Hogan impression, walked slowly to the ring.
He took his time to get to the ring. He didn't run.
It was not a run-in, no.
Clearly. It was sort of a limpin'.
It was a Hogan.
It was a Hogan? It was a Hogan-in?
Yeah, he did a Hogan run-in. Walk-in.
Limpin', whatever.
Limpin' ain't easy.
Anyway, Storm shows up, he gets in the ring. He spits some beer in Rude's face, which, of course, costs Chavo the match.
Yeah, they never actually said officially what the finish was, but my way of rules, pulled out the rule book on this one. Person interferes, attacks another person, the other person gets disqualified because you're interfering on their behalf. So James Storm interfered on the behalf of Chavo by spitting the beer in the face of Bobby Roode. So the winner by disqualification, Bobby Roode.
Yeah, and then but at the same time, he technically cost them both to the match, even though Bobby won by DQ.
Right, yeah.
Anyway, after the match, you got this really nice tense moment as Storm is standing over a very, you know, prone Bobby Roode, who's trying to wipe the alcohol out of his eyes, and he's got that beer bottle in his hand. And you could tell he's thinking about it.
Mm-hmm. He's thinking about it.
He's thinking about taking that bottle right across Bobby Roode's head, but, well, his good sense gets the better of him, and Storm just very quietly limps away.
He did his powerful saunter, as King Kins put it. A powerful saunter.
I don't think it was that powerful, honestly.
All right, he's sauntered. Limping, whatever. Anyway, it was a match, it furthered where they're heading.
Yeah, this kind of helped to build the whole night. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, this definitely was the start of it, especially with Storm. Storm was heavily involved despite being injured, which was, I have to commend him for.
Yeah.
Anyway, Angle is on his way to call someone out as we head to the break. And then, of course, we get a really nice promo package for AJ as they're coming back from break. TNA's post-production is just absolutely amazing. The people that put these video packages together, I'm really kind of envious.
They are. They're tremendous.
Next up, we have Kurt out in the ring, and he's basically ripping AJ Styles to shreds. He then furthers the hype for the match at Slammiversary. But, well, Angle's kind of impatient. He doesn't want to wait for the match at Slammiversary. He wants AJ now. So do a lot of his fangirls. But, you know,
yeah.
Kurt's going to cut to the head of the line.
As he should.
As he should.
He is an Olympic gold medalist with a broken freaking neck.
He is. And, I mean, who's going to argue with that? Seriously.
Not many.
So, Kurt calls out AJ, but AJ doesn't show. Instead, we get one Mr. Anderson.
Ooh.
Anderson gets in the ring, and he was in fine form this evening. He tells Kurt that basically, well, he sounds like a woman. Anderson tells Kurt that AJ isn't his boy anymore, and he just needs to lay off. Then we're informed by Mr. Anderson that, well, the Aces and Eights are going to be having a little celebration next week, where we are going to see the official patching in of one AJ Styles live on Impact.
Uh-oh.
Anderson then invites Kurt to come along to the festivities and dares him to try anything because he will get his ass handed to him. Angle then says he doesn't want to wait for next week. He doesn't want to wait for Slammiversary. He doesn't want to wait for anything. And then he proceeds to attack Mr. Anderson.
Kurt Angle's a very impatient man.
He is a very impatient man. They should work on that with him. Patience is a virtue, Kurt. Just putting that out. Yeah, putting that out. However, during the attack on Anderson, he eventually gets out of the ring. Kurt is glaring at him in the ring, and, well, that's when AJ decides to make his move, and he cheap shots Angle from behind. This leads to Anderson giving his approval to AJ as they both walk away from a prone Kurt Angle.
It was very interesting where Mr. AJ Styles came from.
It was.
As he came from the Aces and Eights area.
He did.
Is it a sign that he's actually going to be patched in? Is he a member of the Aces and Eights? Why, AJ, why?
What are you doing, AJ? Why?
How dare you join the dark side? How dare you? No. No.
Or is he just a spy?
I'm really looking forward to AJ and Kurt. Just playing it out.
That's going to be a really, really, really good match, even though we've seen it a lot of times before. One more time will never hurt.
Doesn't hurt to see Kurt Angle and AJ Styles, especially when you have a motivated Kurt Angle. And it looks like Kurt Angle is motivated right now.
Oh my goodness, yes he is.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, nice segment, sets up thing, and progresses the patching in storyline. That was enjoyable.
It was. I liked it. And you know what? When he said, you know, because it's like Hogan makes the announcement of, okay, well, we're going to do AJ and Kurt. And it's like, all right, well, I kind of saw that one coming. And then it's like you have Angle walk out. And he cuts that promo on AJ. And it's like, oh, this is going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
Kurt's fired up.
Kurt's ready. Kurt's ready to have some fun, kick some ass.
Yes, yes, he is. And we all know how good Kurt Angle is when he's motivated. So. Mm-hmm. And hopefully AJ brings his A game.
And I think he will be.
And I think he will be as well, yeah. So, what happened next?
It was the Bound for Glory semifinal match. I didn't know how there was first round or second round. But it's a semifinal match, Jay Bradley and Christian York in a gut check Bound for Glory semifinal match. Alright, here's the thing about, before we get into this match, it was a typical match. Though that one spot where you run into the corner, where he did the flip into the corner, God, that's, whew. Anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway, Jay Bradley. I want to talk about Jay Bradley for a second. Dude, you got to get some gear. You got to get some real gear, because right now you look like generic wrestler B. Sadly, like, I guess you have the talent and what have you, training in OVW, whatever. You look really generic. You have the typical hair, the typical body shape, typical gear. There's nothing about Jay Bradley that stands out. I don't know how he got passed on. I think Ric Flair was drunk when it happened. Wait, was he? No, wait, he wasn't a regular run. That was Sam Shaw. Never mind. Anyway, someone on the panel was drunk. He's a generic wrestler. He looks like a generic wrestler. He does the same moves as a generic wrestler. He doesn't have, to me, this might just be me, he doesn't have the look and feel of a guy you're going to believe in.
When he went through gut check, if I remember right, he was the one, and he had like the backwards baseball cap, and he had the work shirt, and he was in all black.
Right.
And it was more, I think, the persona and the attitude than the look. But I'd have to agree, like, even with the look, like the all black, because he's just really just kind of this jackass.
Right.
He's really cocky and he's really confident. It's like, for whatever reason, it's like he took off the work shirt and it's, you know, that royal blue color, and it's like, eh?
Yeah.
I mean, it didn't do anything for me. It obviously didn't do anything for you.
It just seemed really awkward. He seemed generic, and I was surprised when he won this match. Because Christian York has been the guy that's been behind it, and he took the fall, and Jay Bradley advances in the gut check thing. Gut check Bound for Glory qualifier tournament. So Jay Bradley moves on, but it's like, if he's going to win this thing, and he's going to be in the Bound for Glory series, I don't believe in him at this point.
Well, he's probably one of those that will get eliminated early. I can see York going into the Bound for Glory series on his own without Gutcheck.
No, I don't think so. I think if they're going to stick by it, I think this was York's chance and he lost it.
Oh, stick him in the X series then.
Yeah. But there you go. It was a match. It wasn't anything spectacular.
It was good. It had some nice spots. But, yeah, overall, it was just kind of sort of pretty generic. However, I would have to say that at least one of the matches of the night happened next.
But before we get to the matches, we have just thingies backstage, don't we?
Yes, we did. We had thingies backstage. Basically, James Storm had a mad because, well, he had to face consequences for what he did to Bobby Roode. However, he keeps telling us to keep watching. Then we have the Aces and Eights celebrating their triumph as far as getting AJ Styles to patch in. Anderson can't wait to do it. And then Anderson motivates D'Lo to beat Joseph Park tonight.
You need to win, D'Lo.
That.
You need to win, D'Lo. You gotta win, D'Lo. You got to win.
You need to win, D'Lo. After that, they're on the move as they walk off. And, of course, there was Wes. Then after this, we had Brooke and Mickey backstage. Brooke congratulates Mickey on her new CD, which, by the way, is available on iTunes right now. Go check it out.
I believe it's also available on shoptna.com.
Yes. They talk. After the congratulations are had, Mickey reminds Brooke that, well, she wants to be on top of the division, and Brooke said, you know, basically makes the excuse of, well, she had to let Gail and Taryn fight their stuff out because it was hanging over the entire division, which was true.
It was.
But she's going to make it up to Mickey. Brooke tells Mickey that she's getting a title shot next week against Velvet. Mickey leaves, seeming satisfied. Before Mickey leaves, well, we have a little husband and wife interaction. Bully sort of saunters up to Brooke and corners her against the wall. Basically, he's got a message for Dad about right. Sting tonight and the contract signing, saying that it's not going to be a signing, more like a negotiation.
She wants a divorce. He's not going to give a divorce. Never, ever, ever will there be a divorce.
Nope. Till death do they part.
Part.
Part. I love how he lays his, like, New York accent on.
That was great.
Wonderful heel interaction by Bully being the, well, Bully.
Bully was being a bully. How about that? Who knew that could happen? It's a novel concept. Bully could be a bully. Who knew?
Who knew? But at least this is, in my opinion, one of the candidates for Match of the Night. This was a really, really great, like, chunk of impact. Like, this match and the next match.
But let's get into the first match. Gail Kim, Velvet Sky. Woohoo!
This was a great match. And Kane Kittens obviously enjoyed at least the camera angles in the match.
Yeah, Kane Kittens enjoyed the camera angles. This was a great match. I enjoyed it. They worked. They told a story with the knee, which is what they've been telling the last few weeks.
Right.
Kim was working over the leg throughout the majority of the match. You saw Velvet favoring the leg throughout. But, you know, every time she went for her finish, you know, the knee was, you know, gave her some trouble. Gail Kim was able to get out at times. And then you had the announcers talk about, Velvet's just giving up. She's not going to win. And Kim sort of charged in at Velvet. Velvet kicked her a little bit into the turnbuckle. She rolled her up for the three. Really nice stuff. The announcers told her, like, oh my god, she beat her, because Gail Kim was dominating and the injury was catching up to Velvet.
I would agree. So it was a really nice come-from-behind finish for Velvet.
And then the post angle, ooh.
Oh my goodness, yes. And then after the match, Gail Kim does, in typical fashion for her lately, of wrapping Velvet's leg around the ring post and doing the figure four, which ODB broke up.
It was attempting to break up. Yeah, that was done. That was well done.
I really like what they're doing with Gail Kim, where they're giving her that really harsh, aggressive streak.
Mm-hmm. She has this aggressive attitude, and that's what you want. You want a female who's just not going to sit back and act look pretty. She's going to be aggressive in fighting. Because she wants that title back, and she's going to fight her way through the division to get it.
Like, well, actually, technically, shouldn't she be number one contender since she beat the champion?
Velvet won.
Oh, that's right, Velvet won.
Yeah, Velvet won.
But so she's still beaten more of the division than Mickey has.
Yeah, she's...
She beat Mickey!
She beat Mickey. Well, Mickey will get her shot next week, as we mentioned before, but yeah, this was a good angle. I love the ring post angle. I love the ring post figure four. It's done well, so... We'll see what happens. My gut tells me one Gail Kim's going to get it off somewhere next week.
Hmm.
This is my gut. Last week I said on the program Velvet and Gail for the title. Maybe a three-way.
Could be.
We shall see.
But up next, I'm going to let Rock cover this one because I squeaked through this entire segment.
She squeaked over Suicide returning next week to Impact, but instead it is the X Division Championship on the line in a triple threat match.
No, you missed the great promo between Sabin, King, and Petey.
Alright, tell me about the promo. I didn't catch the promo.
You didn't catch the promo?
No.
Basically, it was all three of them talking smack in a video promo, in which Sabin called, he didn't know what Kenny King was the king of, because he certainly wasn't Sabin's king. Maybe Kenny King is the king of the male strippers.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I missed this promo. Sorry.
Because Sabin proclaims himself the best wrestler.
Uh-huh.
King then counters and says that, well, he wears his crown on his shoulder and Sabin's just second rate, and then you have Petey Williams, I'll throw it in there, and says, you know, and Petey's all business, where he says that King has a plan. Basically, King is sort of a slacker. He lets everybody else do the work, and then he comes in and he steals the pin at the most opportune moment, and that, well, Petey's got a plan, but they've still got some work to do with King.
Aha, I gotta go back and look at the pro.
Yeah, you gotta go back and watch the promo. There were some nice words said. And yeah, the Suicide promo was actually pretty cool.
It was. That I saw. I missed it because it was right before the right after the women's match. Right before. Yeah, I missed that one. Okay.
Yeah, it was right after the break. And it was, yeah, it's like, oh, there's Suicide.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw that. Suicide is awesome. And we'll get into Suicide in a little bit because, you know, there's an announcement made. But up next, X Division title. Kenny King defends against Chris Sabin and Petey Williams. Great match.
Fantastic match. I mean, do you really expect anything less from these three?
No, you don't. There was this, I think it was in this match where they did the one spot. One of them was hanging, and then the other one, like, launched the other guy into the hanging guy.
Yeah.
God, well, that, ooh. That's dangerous a little bit.
Yeah, and there was one spot where Petey did an absolutely fantastic counter in the middle of the match, where he basically did a reverse into a DDT.
That was great.
That was an absolutely fantastic move. I mean, these three just put on their best stuff. If you have not seen this match, go find it.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with the women's match. Go find it. Seriously, it should be up on YouTube here in the next day or so. Go watch them, because they were absolutely fantastic wrestling matches.
Mm-hmm. They were.
They really, really, really were.
But the sad thing is, Petey Williams lost.
I know! Petey took the pin, so he's out! I had to cry a little bit.
Petey Williams is no longer in the tournament. Or not in the tournament. He has to work his way back into a title contention. So we might not see Petey as much for at least for a little while.
Yeah, I think they're probably gonna... I don't know. Petey may be back in other forms. Like, honestly, I would actually love to see Petey go into the Bound for Glory series.
Or you know what? Petey Williams may be...
That too! He could... We'll have to see if Suicide has shrunk. Because at this point, it's probably going to be either Daniels, Kaz, or Petey Williams.
Mm-hmm.
You'll know if it's Daniels, because you can tell by the ass.
I will let you confirm that.
Okay.
I'm not going to be looking at his ass.
Daniels has a very distinct curvature, so it's...
Okay, well, that's your department, not mine.
I'm sorry, a friend of mine pointed that out. That wasn't me.
Uh-huh, sure. Mm-hmm.
No, it won't be Joe.
No, it'll be... Anyway. Speaking of Daniels, him and Kazarian, holy crap, that was some interesting stuff.
I love these two. They have a backstage promo. Daniels is sitting there drinking an appletini. Kaz is trying to motivate him for his match with Hernandez. Basically, Storm is a jerk. And they have this in more ways than one.
Mm, and, you know, Daniels needs his, he needs his partner. He needs his, what did they call him?
Secretary of something.
Secretary of offense or something like that?
Yeah, something like that. Or defense.
Sergeant. Was it Sergeant of Offense? Something like that? Secretary?
No, it was Secretary. It was Secretary, because I kind of raised an eyebrow to that.
Okay. Whatever it was interesting. It was interesting nonetheless.
It was. I mean, these two, they're
awesome together. Anyhow, we need more of them around the show, but, you know, that's just being picky.
Well, maybe we will get more of them based on the announcement.
Which we will get into in a bit.
We will, but first we have D'Lo and Mr. Anderson backstage.
We did. I liked how they brought up that you know, all this trouble started with D'Lo when they started to bury Wes and Garrett.
Damn right!
D'Lo admitted to making mistakes, and he wanted to make it right, so that's what he's going to do. And Anderson's, you know, pulling for Mr. D'Lo Brown to get his colors back.
Yeah, I liked how D'Lo's like, "Thanks for stopping Bully with the hammer. That was some heavy stuff." And Anderson's like, "Yeah, yeah, I didn't do it for you. I did it for the club."
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of like, ouch. Understandable, but ouch.
Yeah. So then we have Hernandez and Daniels one-on-one.
With Mr. Kazarian at ringside.
With Mr. Kazarian at ringside, yes. He was at ringside, yes. You know, fine stuff between the two. Wasn't anything overly special, but it was there. But then you had the finish of this one.
You had
Mr. Storm walk down the ring, beer bottle in hand, taking the last few drops because Aaron runs away. Daniels is like, "What are you doing? What are you doing?" And then he gets hit with the running shoulder block and took the fall.
Yes, and cost Daniels the match, and then...
And then, yeah, then Mr. Storm, well, he decided to pick up a microphone, didn't he?
He did.
And this is where we go.
It is certainly... Shut it out! The Storm on that.
You know, I just left Hulk's office, and he said, "Brother, there's repercussions for your actions." I said, "All right." He said, "I want you to go out and I want you to make the following announcement for me." I said, "Alright." And that is, at Slammiversary, there's gonna be a world tag team title match. And it's gonna be Chavo and Hernandez defending against Aries and Rue.
Why? That's not fair! Bruce Hogan!
And Daniels and Gazarian.
Okay. Three-way. We can do it.
And another guy that kind of knows a little something about tag team wrestling. That'd be the old Cowboy James Storm. And a partner of my choice. So all I got to say to you guys is, sorry about your damn luck.
Gonna pick.
Wow. There you have it. Daniels and Kazarian were not pleased with that one bit.
I hearted this promo so much. And?
And?
Alright.
Alright. Brother.
Alright.
Alright, brother.
Storm was... I love it when Storm's smart and snarky is so awesome.
This leads to the question, which we'll probably discuss at a later time, of who will his partner be?
It definitely opens up possibilities, because could it be somebody from the past, or could it be somebody in the present?
I'm thinking it. This is me being, you know, wanting it, Samoa Joe.
Joe would be interesting.
Yeah, Kingston's Braden Walker.
Oh, no, when he said that, it's a partner of my choosing. It's like, oh, wouldn't that be cool if Harris showed up and they did an AMW reunion? I know Storm wouldn't want to do it, but if they did it, like, one night only.
That'd be interesting, but, you know, if it was one night only, it should have been on one night only.
I know, but yeah, it's that would be... I think Harris sadly blew that chance the last time he was in TNA.
Yep. But yeah, me being selfish, I wanted to be Joe.
Well, it could be Joe. They could have it be Petey. They could have it be a number of people. They could have it be EY.
EY would fit too.
Storm and EY together. That's a scary combination.
That'd be and then EY would be the tag team champion.
Oh God!
Because think about it, he has the knockout tag team titles, and he would then have the real tag team titles. He would be the tag team champion.
Yeah, I don't think that would work like that. He's
not gonna start screaming, "I'm the tag team champion." No.
No, I don't think that's going to happen. Just a hunch on that.
He has the beard for it.
Oh, he totally has the beard for it, but his isn't as bushy as...
Well.
His is more bushy out. Dan O'Brien's is more length.
Yeah.
So EY has the width, Brian has the length. So I guess that's a push. As Kane Kitten suggests, it could also be Joseph Parks.
Won't be Joseph.
Won't be Joseph, but that would be hilarious.
Because he is taking him under his wing. Anyway.
He has, yes. On the road, he has. Their shenanigans are fantastic.
Shenanigans!
Total shenanigans.
But speaking of one Joseph Park, he's in our next contest.
He is! We have Joseph Park taking on D'Lo, and basically D'Lo beat Joseph's ass for 5 minutes, with Joseph getting very little offense in until, well, D'Lo makes the mistake of busting Joseph open. And we all know what happens when Joseph Park sees blood.
He sees red. He goes crazy!
He channels his inner monster and goes berserk.
And he was able to hit the black hole slam shades of his brother. You know, Abyss.
Abyss. I love how it was actually, you could tell, like, D'Lo was not where he was supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
Because Joseph / Abyss reaches out, grabs him, and pulls him into the black hole slam. Like, had to pull him and then pick him up and do it.
Right. I don't know. And, you know, also D'Lo's been in the ring for a while, so it happens.
It happens, and yeah, and it was fine for what it was. I will say, because I wrote this down, because you actually have him do the Abyss pose after the match.
Yeah, he did. He was still in Monster Abyss mode before he snapped out of it.
And then you have him wake up.
Mm-hmm.
Which was absolutely adorable.
Yeah. Him waking up, yeah.
Him coming out of that, like, that state, and he's like, wait, what happened?
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Like, he's stunned.
Where am I?
You know? Yeah, where am I?
Where am I? So, at this point, it makes the question, D'Lo didn't get the win, what happens next? We shall find out next week on Impact.
I guess we shall.
But they made a few announcements at this point. They made a few announcements regarding Slammiversary. Did you write down the matches?
I know it's a three-way four with Sabin, King, and Suicide at Slammiversary.
Yes, it will be also the four-way tag team elimination match. But yes, it is Suicide, King, and Sabin. Angle and Styles, officially, for Slammiversary. And it will also be, you know, the main event is Sting and Bully Ray for the World Heavyweight Championship.
If they don't kill each other first.
Which leads us to the main event.
Yes. Should I tell the people all about it?
No, I'm not going to tell anyone about it. I don't feel like talking.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not talking.
Tonight.
What?
Taz, what's the story? What's the negotiation?
I don't know.
See what I did here?
You know what I just realized? This is actually the first time me and you are face to face since I screwed you over. Since I screwed him over. And everybody knows how bad I was screwing his daughter over.
Ouch.
You're probably looking for an apology, right? Well, you ain't getting one.
I really don't, I don't care about your apology. You know, when you get to Boston, you should take my arm and snap it in two. You should pull my kneecap off. Dislocate my elbow. You should goozle me, really. You should just rip my throat right out. Take your finger and gouge my eye out. You should make me bleed.
What the hell is wrong with you? You want me to break your arm, break your leg, make you bleed? Why would you be telling me to do that to you? What the hell is wrong with you?
Because if you don't do it to me, I'm gonna do it to you. Because I don't care if it's in the ring, if it's out of the ring, if it's in the concession stands, if it's up in the rafters, if it's into the crowd, I am gonna make you bleed in Boston! So I didn't really have any demands, but since you're asking for a demand, here's my demand. I want a no-holds-barred match in Boston.
No-holds-barred, huh? Probably think you got me just where you want me. I bet these people all over the world would love to see me bleed at your hands. I'll tell you what, Sting. You got your no-holds-barred match. On one condition. You agree. You swear. You sign that when I beat you in Boston, you never, ever wrestle for the World Heavyweight Championship again.
Well, hold on a minute.
Nah. You shut your mouth. Don't talk. I ain't done yet. I'm sick and tired of you stepping on me.
Sting.
Shut up.
Don't do it,
Sting. I'm not saying you gotta retire. What I'm saying is this. I don't want you to retire. I want you to have to wrestle until the day you die, knowing that you can never wear this championship around your waist again.
Sting, I'm running the show around here, not him. You don't have to do this, Sting. Don't do it.
There he goes again, making decisions for you, running your career, running your life, telling you what to do. What's it gonna be, Sting? Man up! No holds barred versus the championship for the rest of your life. Yes or no?
Yes.
Sting accepts the challenge, and now champion and challenger going toe-to-toe, center of the ring. You talk about physicality at Slammiversary. It's going to be no holds barred with so much on the line, fans. We'll see you next week in Tampa.
Great segment.
Bully had the exact reaction to Sting's promo that I think everybody did when he first started talking.
Mm-hmm.
He had that what-the-fuck reaction to it, which was great.
Bully was great. I love Sting in this because he didn't, you know, do the whole big, excited Sting voice. He was serious.
He was serious, and that was absolutely great. Because it's like he's talking in this very odd sort of voice, and the serious voice, and it's very odd, and it's like, you should, you know, break my arm. And it, when he said that, I actually looked up, and I was like, what did he just say?
Yeah, you should break my arm, my leg, cut my throat out, pull out his eyes, make me bleed. It's like, huh.
Okay.
And this was done super well.
Oh, absolutely, I agree. And it's one of those moments where he built that intensity until he got to where he was just like, I am going to hurt you.
So we got the no-holds-barred stipulation, and then they made the twist.
Yes.
Where Sting cannot, if he loses, can never, ever challenge for the World Heavyweight title again. And I thought that's a fantastic stipulation.
That is a fantastic stipulation.
Because what's the one thing we talk about with TNA? When it comes to their big pay-per-views, who do they always go to?
Sting.
And now, they're going to have to... If he loses, which I hope he does, they cannot rely on it. And the way this booking team does it, they stick to the stips.
They do.
So if you put the stipulation in, you're going to follow it.
Which I would actually be really interested to see, because it's kind of one of those things where it's like, what happens when, you know, Sting can't do that anymore? Where you can't rely on him like that anymore? And what does he then become?
Because he's their guy.
He is their guy, and it's what happens when you can't count on Sting anymore to do what you need him to do, which is be the hero. Well, somebody else has to step up, mm-hmm. which means they have to make another star.
Mm-hmm. And they're going to book themselves into making the star, and that's what you want.
Right, that's exactly what you want. This was a fantastic, fantastic segment, really well done, all the way down, complete with them throwing haymakers at the end, mm-hmm. where it's like they can't contain it, they're going to start fighting now. It was absolutely brilliant. It's like this, to me, because originally I wasn't excited, because it's like, oh, it's Sting Billy Ray, eh. This sold it.
They sold you.
And that's exactly what they're supposed to do. It's like, I'm looking forward to this match because it's like, well, what's going to happen? Because it's like the way Bully was really talking. It's like, oh, retirement match.
No.
That's, yeah, and that's what initially crossed my mind. And then it's like, no, I don't want you to retire. I want you to have to work for the rest of your life. But you're never going to get another shot at this belt.
Mm-hmm.
Ever.
Ever.
Which was, like I said, I can't sing this segment's praises enough. It was well done.
Mm-hmm.
From top to bottom.
I would agree completely. It was a very productive edition of Impact.
It was. It was a very productive edition. It was well done. Top to bottom. This was definitely the stronger week.
Mm-hmm.
Last week was sort of the setup for this week.
Mm-hmm. And that's what you wanted.
And that's totally fine.
Out of all the tape shows recently, this was the best tape show.
I would agree to that.
Because this time they had a purpose, and the last couple they haven't had the purpose. This one they had a purpose, and it was really good.
It was.
But I think it's time we break.
Yes, I think it's time for our next break of the evening. So when we come back, we're going to be talking all about Tweet of the Week, and we've got our Extreme Rules Preview and Pick'em brought to you by PWMania.com. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
Tuesday nights, the Wild Talk Radio Network brings you Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with me, Alan Wojcik, and the Spud Guy. We'll bring you interviews with the biggest names from the past, present, and future in pro wrestling.
Hey everybody, this is Ed Spud. It's me. It's that D-O-double-G.
This is Jessica Havoc.
Hey everyone, this is Stevie Richards.
This is Harley Race.
The franchise Shane Douglas.
Plus, insights from the people who cover the business. It's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio, 9 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Looking for the latest in all things TNA Wrestling? Then look no further than TNAsylum.com. TNA Asylum keeps you up to date on all the happenings in TNA Wrestling, along with featured columns, full coverage of TNA-related events, and a first look on the behind-the-scenes events of TNA that you can't find anywhere else. Log on right now to the haven for TNA fans, TNAsylum.com.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
The following interpretation is brought to you by Taste and Good Form. Oh, you were not aware of this? Your posterior better contact someone at once! Ladies and gentlemen, young people of all gender and ages, Taste and Decency proudly presents to you
the home of the award-winning RackRadioShow.com. Here you'll be able to find information about the show, how to buy our one-of-a-kind merchandise, and, of course, all the great interviews we have done, including interviews with the likes of Trish Stratus, Christopher Daniels, and, of course, WWE superstar The Miz. Once again, that's RackRadioShow.com.
And if you're not down with that, we have two words for you. You're welcome!
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show. From the big returns...
After 7 long years... Finally, The Rock has come back to Monday Night Raw!
To the shocking moment. And the moments that leave you speechless.
I grew up locked in a basement, suffering severe psychological and emotional scarring when my brother set my parents on fire. From there, I shifted around among a series of mental institutions until I was grown, at which point I buried my brother alive. Twice. Since then, I've set a couple of people on fire and abducted various co-workers. Oh, and I once electrocuted a man's testicles.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
What's up? This is WWE Superstar The Miz, and you are listening to Wild Talk Radio Network, and it is awesome.
Let's go!
All right, folks, welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you, of course, by our friends at PWMania.com and MemLanePromo.com. Go check them out for all your memorabilia needs for MemLane Promo and, of course, PWMania for all your news needs. So before we get to Extreme Rules, I think we need to do something that, well, we just have too much darn fun at. That's Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
Sue, you want to begin?
Sure. I've got a couple, actually more than a couple. So let's see. Petey Williams. Wrestling has changed so much. I used to look down at the blood stains on the canvas. Now I look down at the fake tan stains.
So true?
Yes, very true. Dolph Ziggler. Fun fact, Daniel Bryanson is the Travelocity roaming gnome on weekends and the stunt double for Yukon Cornelius. To which the Travelocity gnome replies, no, no, no. Somebody else jumps in and goes, I didn't realize the Travelocity gnome was a WWE fan, Then the gnome replies, I've been known to throw down, as they say. And we get this picture, which I'm posting in the chat room, which is just amazing.
I know.
For those of you that are listening on the archive, it is a picture of the roaming gnome in a lucha mask.
Yep.
Which is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Also from Dolph Ziggler, we have the jokes on at Natty, Nat by Nature. She doesn't know our safe word, winky face, way to go, babe, at WWE AJ Lee. And lastly, an issue very close to my heart, Blake Shelton. Grown man who wears skinny jeans may as well put on a t-shirt that says, trust me girls, if I can fit it in here, you're not interested.
I can say I do not wear skinny jeans.
Thank God, I would have to hurt you.
Anyway, is that it?
That's all I got.
Mr. Snickers, Snickers underscore Mr. In the sequel, Fast and Furious 26, the characters just drive around town with their blinkers on looking for a Denny's. Daniel Bryan, my hair gets wilder every day. It's taking more and more effort not to look like Dennis the Menace. Think about that one for a second.
Dennis the Menace with a beard?
Mm-hmm. And think about Daniel Bryan as Dennis Menace, and he has the overalls and the slingshot in the back pocket.
Oh, Bryan would make a hilarious Dennis the Menace.
There you go, future casting.
So does that make Kane Mr. Wilson?
Mm-hmm.
Sweet.
He knows how to do the voice. He is kind of creepy.
He is.
Dolph Ziggler, poor kid, go ice down your marbles with a bucket of cold Bud Light Limes. Hashtag brawl at Zack Ryder. Ryback rules is my favorite chant. Just kidding. Just kidding. That was from Dolph Ziggler on Monday because he was live tweeting. Let's continue. I, from Dolph Ziggler, I wish the Funkadactyls would notice me, sad face. Hey, I used to be a cheerleader too. Lots of 203 calls, skipping them, obviously. If this is my last day at WWE, this is exactly how I would want to go out. Ha ha. He concluded his fun of on Raw with, well, that was fun for you, in capital letters. Oh, and if Vince McMahon asked, my Twitter account was hacked. Oh no!
Awesome.
From at Zack Ryder. LOL at WWE Shop has unfollowed me on Twitter.
We did confirm this.
We did confirm this. I have not reconfirmed if they restart following him, and that's what I'm going to do right now. And they, oh, sadly, they have refollowed him. Damn.
Aw, bummer.
But there was a day where he was unfollowed by WWE Shop. AJ Lee goes, I just karate kicked a love bug in public. Don't feel bad. They're not as precious as they sound, and that much PDA is offensive. CM Punk responds to the tweet, CM Punk and Chael Sonnen sitting in a tree, K-I-S-S-I-N-G. Yes, we're sitting in trees and kiss millions of dollars and our hot women. And finally, James Storm, that moment when you become 15 again and laugh. The doc asks, have you ever pulled your groin before? Ha. And that's Tweet of the Week.
A very fine selection this
mm-hmm.
week.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now, we don't really have a drum roll or anything. Let's get into this week's pay-per-view offering from WWE. Which is Extreme Rules.
Where do you want to begin?
Well, I say we start at the pre-show.
Okay, talk about it.
On the pre-show, you have the returning Miz taking on one Mr. Mustache himself, Cody Rhodes. We were talking about this last night because, well, the producer has abandoned me temporarily. We were talking about this last night, and, you know, as far as Miz is concerned, he was unfortunately on the pre-show last year as well for this pay-per-view. He fought Santino Marella for the U.S. title, in which he lost. So this year he is in a non-title match against Cody. And it should be a good match. It should be an interesting match. But it kind of feels like it's an upgrade for Miz. No offense, Santino, I love you. Hashtag Santino for champ. But I also feel like this is really kind of a downgrade for Cody. It's like they've got something really amazing in him. I just wish they would do more with him.
Right.
Like, I don't... And for me, it's like, he's so fantastic with Damian.
Mm-hmm.
I just wish they would quit splitting them up and keep them together.
Yeah, and I think they're keeping them together. Because they interact on main event together. And, yeah, they're staying together. But, because we saw, Miz, you know, they've interacted, you know. They're staying together, but yeah. As you mentioned, we talked about it last night, this is a downgrade for Cody Rhodes a little bit. Miz, it's still on the same level.
I would argue it's a little bit of an upgrade.
But last year was for a title.
Yeah, it's... I mean, as far as the caliber of talent is concerned, and again, that's not a shot at Santino, it's just I think Cody's got it a little bit more together than Santino does.
Right.
So it makes sense in that case,
mm-hmm,
that it's a little bit of an upgrade.
I would agree. So this boils down to the question of who you got.
This is a hard one. I would say it's probably going to be Miz just because he's just coming back.
Mm-hmm.
From doing the Christmas movie, so I would have to say probably Miz. Who do you have?
I gotta say Miz because it's a pre-show match, and they want to get the babyface over. Miz wins over Cody Rhodes with the figure four.
Alrighty, well, up next we have Chris Jericho taking on Fandango.
I liked what they did Monday. I liked how they made it serious on Monday after all the goofiness that over the last few weeks. And then WrestleMania Fandango went over. This is a tough one. Because for Jericho, as we're doing this whole better or worse thing, this is a bit of a downgrade for him. This last year, he was in the WWE title match. This year, he's against Fandango. But this is where Chris Jericho shines. He shines against trying to make younger stars, and his goal apparently is to make Fandango into something.
Which, if he's willing to put him over and willing to help build a star, I'm all for that. I mean, yes, I would agree it is a downgrade for Jericho because he was facing Punk last year and he's facing Fandango this year, but they've done some interesting stuff together, and I would agree. I like that it took a turn for the serious on Monday night, where Jericho's like, all right, that's it. I'm done playing games with you.
Mm-hmm.
You want to go? Let's go. So I expect a really, really good match where basically Jericho's going to take Fandango to school.
He's going to take Fandango to school. Picking this one is tough. Because on one hand, I can see him putting over Fandango, but if you remember, Fandango was the most over thing 6 weeks ago because of a song. Now, not so much. And the way they do their booking, it's like, this is WWE 101, but this is WWE booking 101 written all over it.
When is Jericho leaving for the summer?
I don't know, but he's staying around for at least another week. Wink, wink. Nudge. So, I don't think he's leaving for a summer.
Okay. I wasn't sure if he was going on tour again this year or if he was staying around for the summer. Well, and this is the only match, aside from the pre-show, that doesn't have a stip on it.
No. No, another one doesn't have a stip, but it's a title match, but we'll get to that in a minute. I'm trying to think of who to go with. I'm torn. Who you going with? I don't know what I'm making a pick.
I don't see this lasting much longer. just because it's okay. It doesn't have really that much behind it to begin with. Mm-hmm. And it's Jericho giving Fandango the win at Mania did more for him than anything else Jericho could really do at this stage. Because it at least gave him that credibility. Even though the match was technically crap, it at least gave Fandango the credibility to be considered a contender. So, I would say that Jericho probably gets his win back via either count out or some kind of DQ or something. Like, you have Fandango walk out or something, I'm not sure.
They've been doing that Fandango walkout thing a lot lately, though. They've been doing the count-out finish a lot for a lot of people. I'm going Jericho goes there for clean. I don't know, I get this feeling he's going over clean.
Fair enough.
Straight up, either the Walls of Jericho or Codebreaker, middle of the ring, tap out or clean 1, 2, 3. That's my thought. So what's next?
Well, up next we have Randy Orton versus The Big Show in an Extreme Rules match.
This one. Not really sure. Randy Orton saying he's gotten more extreme lately. I'm not feeling this one.
Yeah, this kind of sort of feels slobberdashed together a little bit.
I mean, it makes sense. Big Show turned on him, and Randy Orton was the one to push for Big Show, and that's why they're doing it. Randy Orton pushed for Big Show at WrestleMania to be the partner. Then he turned on him, so they want to get the conclusion and what have you. I don't know, I'm not feeling this one.
This one is just kind of sort of a meh, and you're having it where Show is starting to fade in the background, because think about where he was this time last year, and what happened at Extreme Rules last year for Show. Orton is just sort of there, if that makes sense. So it's one of those things where it's like it's a hard pick, because the only benefit I can see is you have I'm gonna go with Orton. Mm-hmm. Just because you've got a heel champion on SmackDown, and you could technically have Orton go after Ziggler after Show,
right? I'm with you. It's going to be alright, and wasn't last year was Orton Kane in the same spot, sort of?
Yeah, it was Orton Kane in a
False Count Anywhere.
Was it False Count Anywhere, or was it Extreme Rules?
I think it was False Count Anywhere. To the Googles really quick. I think it was False Count Anywhere. Which was a better match than the main match from last year. Yeah, False Count Anywhere. Randy needs the win, I think. So I'm going to go Randy in this one. I think he needs the win a little bit more than Big Show does.
Also, he's got a movie getting ready to come out, so yeah, I can see them putting Randy over to help sort of push film.
The 12 Rounds Reloaded coming out on June 4th. So there's that.
There's that. Next, we have Mark Henry taking on Sheamus in a strap match. And I have to say, this is one of the ones I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, but before the step, it was like, eh. Added the step. Hell yeah.
And the fact that these two have been basically beating the tar out of each other with a strap. Like what Henry did to Sheamus with his belt. Mm-hmm. Holy crap.
Holy crap, it's a strap match.
I mean, I called it before they ever even made the stip, just based on Henry going after him, but it's like they showed the welts on Sheamus's back after the fact. And it's like, damn, right. He was going after him.
And that was just with a belt.
That was just with a belt.
Think about with a strap, and this time it's going to be a long... They're going to be tied together, so there are going to be spots where they whip each other with that strap. Oh, poor Sheamus's body. Ooh, ooh, ooh. And Mark Henry, too. Ooh, ooh, ooh.
Yeah, but it's not going to show up as much on Henry as it will on Sheamus. Sheamus is going to look like some sort of messed up zebra by the end of this match.
At least Henry has some protection.
Yeah. Sheamus needs to, you know, protect everything, because Henry was going after him full force with that belt, and then on SmackDown with the strap. Granted, so was Sheamus, but Mark Henry, I'm sorry, he's a legit badass to me now, just because the dude can pull two semi-tractor trailers.
He's the world's strongest man.
Dude is a beast. Mm. So it's like, it honestly doesn't matter what happens. Henry's a beast.
Henry is a beast.
End of discussion.
Mm-hmm. Simply put, Henry is a beast. That being said, Sheamus wins.
This is another hard one to pick, because it's like, they both need the win.
They both need the win, but my guts tell me Sheamus at this point. I don't know what I said Sunday, but Sheamus is my pick now, because that's what they do. This is what Mark Henry does. Mark Henry's a beast, but logic tells me Sheamus goes over.
Yeah, I can see Sheamus going over, but I can see Henry going over too, because then you could move Henry on to challenge for Cena's title.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, crap.
What do you do? What do you do, Lindy? Who do you pick?
I'm going with my gut. I'm going with Henry.
Alright, there you go. Up next, I guess we're going to do the I Quit match?
We can.
Let's do Alberto Del Rio versus Jack Swagger for the number one contendership. The original plan was to do a ladder match, but the original plan was to do this match on the pay-per-view for the World Heavyweight title. So we're back to where we're supposed to be. Oh, God. I know Sunday I picked Sheamus to win the contendership, and it's Del Rio. Swagger. I have other ideas for Swagger, like him going after the WWE title, and Zeb Coulter being the promo guy against John Cena. But that's just my dream. What are you thinking about this one? What goes through your mind when you hear Del Rio and Swagger I Quit match?
It at least adds some interest to the feud, because you can really have them go after each other, because they didn't do that at Mania. So you can really sort of have them settle everything here in this match and sort of end this feud and move both of them on. My thinking at this point is, because you have a heel champion, you're going to have a face. I mean, they have legit reason for Ziggler and Swagger to feud, because Swagger put Ziggler out.
Mm-hmm.
But with all of Swagger's issues right now, because I know he's got his court date coming up, and I also know they are probably not too happy with him for the fact that they put Ziggler out and screwed up their pay-per-view plans.
Mm-hmm.
And this is now the second time that this has happened in so many months, where it's... Because originally he got popped for drugs 5 weeks out from Mania, and they had to press forward with their Mania plans anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And you can tell Swagger has fallen out of favor with Vince again, because he's not getting pushed nearly as hard as he was.
Nope.
So I can sort of see them... They couldn't really squash him at Mania. They had to go forward with him. I can see them sort of squashing Swagger here.
All right.
and sort of pushing him off to the side, where basically you have Del Rio beat him in an I Quit match, and he forces Swagger to quit. And then that way you can kind of sort of write Ziggler, or God, Ziggler, not Ziggler, Swagger. Sorry, I don't know why I keep calling Swagger Ziggler. Anyway, probably because I got Ziggler on the brain. That way you can write Swagger off TV for a little bit.
Maybe.
To at least sell the injuries, if nothing else. Or, you know, worst case, you could split Coulter off from Swagger and move Coulter onto somebody else, because I think Coulter would be better served with somebody else.
Right.
At this stage, because it's like, he knows how to get attention, he's a heat magnet, and, you know, it's... I don't understand why you can't play Swagger's issues into a split with Coulter, where basically Swagger is sort of false advertising and he's not the real American.
Right.
And of course, you also have your theory of they move Swagger on to a title match with John Cena, where you have basically Cena and Coulter going back and forth on the mic of the all-American boy versus the real American. Which is an interesting feud as well. So, yeah, on this one, I'm going to go with Del Rio just to kill the feud once and for all, because honestly, Del Rio is the technical number one contender, seeing as he still has his rematch.
Correct.
So, it's Del Rio still... I'm say Del Rio gets to keep his number one contendership. He has a small little deal with Swagger. Or God damn it! Ziggler! And then they move on from there.
There you go.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Anyway, what's up next?
Well, let's see. We've got the tag team match, we've got the U.S. match, and then we've got Hunter Brock. Which one do we want to talk about?
Let's tie in our question of the night here.
Okay.
And for those who didn't hear it, what is our question of the night?
Our question of the night is, does it help or hurt the Shield to put gold on them?
Kane Kinnens goes, no, the idea of the Shield is bigger than titles. Plus, by putting gold on them, you're dividing them between singles, titles, and tag team. Better to keep them as a hit squad and fighting the good fight. Enzuwa, not if one starts shining past the others. Apparently, that said, it's probably should wait until they aren't the Shield anymore, but it's not time yet, in my view. We also had responses on Twitter. This one, pulling up Twitter really quickly to get the response. Vincent Melendez, yes, I mean the people they have beat have gold. Seeing the team, he'll know. Why not reward them for kicking ass? Jed Schaefer, yes, 1,000 times, yes. We have seen a couple on Facebook page, facebook.com/smalltalkradionetwork, where it's like, no, it's too early, it's too soon for them to get the gold. This is where I ask you, the people, is it too early for them to get the gold? What do you think, Jersey Girl? What do you think in our chat room? Is it too early for Dean Ambrose and the rest of the Shield to get gold? Because, as we just mentioned, the U.S. title will be on the line. It will be Dean Ambrose versus Kofi Kingston for the United States title. And the Shield, Rollins and Reigns, challenge Team Hell No for the tag team titles. You think so? You think it's too early? King, not early, but I just think titles are a bad idea for the group. I would agree. The titles are a bad idea for the group, but there is this also of, hey look, we all have titles. The three of us have belts. And that's possibly an idea they have. It's just, it's tough. It's tough when you think about it, where you have all the belts on, when you have a dominant group, but putting the belts on them at this point, it means they're becoming part of the show more than an outside faction, as it were. You have them, they're supposed to be these guys fighting for the Injustice, and now they're fighting for gold. It just seems like they become, they're no longer the special group they once were. It's, they have great matches and they're still the Shield. It's just, I don't know. It's, they're becoming guys on the roster rather than an outside specialty. What do you think, Lindsay?
I could agree with that. I don't think it's too early to put titles on them. They're on a roll. And in any other logical situation, the titles would only help to enhance them. But because they're sort of a special situation where it's you sit there and you think about it, and it's they're for Injustice, they're not for Gold. But if you think about it, they haven't really cut a promo once about wanting the Gold.
Right.
They've been put in this situation by somebody else. This isn't something where they've demanded the titles, where they want their title shot. It's they've been put into this situation by the company. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I mentioned Monday night, one of the ideas that I'm kind of intrigued by is the Shield are all about justice, and they're all about trying to put their stamp on the WWE. Well, that only gets them so far without power. And they have some power through Mayhem, but they don't have nearly as much as they could. So if you think about it, another way to look at it is if they acquire titles, Night Jersey, if they acquire titles, then they gain power. They gain status, which allows them to push their cause further. And it could be one of those things where it's, okay, well, we'll acquire titles. That gives us the power we need to further our message and further our cause, but we could really care less about the titles. And it's like I said Monday night, and I said to you last night, think about the idea of the Shield go after titles, right? Mm-hmm. They go after the U.S. and the tag titles, and they throw them aside. They're the technical champions, but, you know, you have the Shield either leave the titles in the ring, they don't want them, or they throw them away. Think about that. They basically say, your title is worthless to us. It means nothing to us. And they throw it away. And then they proceed to go after other belts, the IC belt, or even Cena's belt.
Right. I pitched the idea to you last night of possible you take Team Hell No and Cena, and you put them up all up against the Shield, and you put all the Gold on the line.
Right.
Which, if that happens, hashtag Rack exclusive.
Yes, Rack, hashtag Rack exclusive. But I can see that, but I can't too. Mm-hmm. I have a really funny feeling, because I'm going to tie my pick into this, is that Hell No more than likely will drop the belts, just because I think at this stage they're eager to get them off of them.
Right.
Because there's really nobody in the division right now that really is feuding with Hell No, if you think about it. You know, it's other than the Shield. So it's like, for your tag division, you need somebody to feud with Team Hell No. Well, there isn't anybody, because they haven't built anybody except the Shield. So I can see them taking the belts off of Hell No and having Hell No chase, or I guess having something where the Usos chase. I don't know. But yeah, I can picture them putting the belts on the Shield just to give a new team to chase, because they'll always have the numbers game. What I would prefer to see with the Shield is that they do something more along the lines where it's, you don't have Ambrose in the U.S. title match. You have it where it's just the Shield, and they decide who's actually in the match, and then all three of them hold the titles. Mm-hmm. And that's how that sort of plays.
Right. So you're going with the Shield to get the tag titles?
I am going with the Shield.
For both matches?
I'm going with the Shield for the tag match, and I'm going with an honestly no contest for the U.S. title match.
I'm going Dean for the U.S. title match, but maybe. Yeah, Dean wins the U.S. title. Tag titles. I get this feeling. I don't know. This whole thing from Monday has me worried. They had the Shield lose on Monday. By disqualification, yes, but they had them lose. My gut is telling me the Shield gets the belts. There's part of me because it's only the two of them. It's only the two. It's not the three. Where it's like, I'm going to do it. Kane and Daniel Bryan retain the titles. That's what I'm going with. Kane and Daniel Bryan retain the tag titles. Because it's not the three, it's the two.
But to be fair, you could also have Ambrose interfere.
You could have Ambrose interfere, and that might cause a disqualification. They keep the belts.
Right.
Because it's not the three, it's just the two. Something in me is like, something's not right. They're not getting the belts yet. Kane and Daniel Bryan retain the titles.
Okay, then. So then that leads us to the last match of the evening, and that is Hunter Brock in the cage.
Well, we got another one after that one, too, but...
Oh, well, what other one do we have?
The WWE title match. Oops.
Oh, yeah, that one.
That one.
Yeah.
That
one. Which one do we want to talk about first?
Oh, what do you want to talk about? Cena.
All right, Cena Ryback for the WWE title.
Cena wins?
Cena wins!
Ryback goes through stuff. I don't know. I got nothing to really say about it. It's like, we've kind of made our point about the Ryback lately. It's just like, with Ryback, he's not getting over as they expected. But then there's the point of, they're injuring John Cena, and it's like, maybe he loses the belt to put the, continue the story, but it's last man standing.
We had this conversation last night during show prep, where we were sitting there and we were thinking about this, and they're trying to book Ryback as this legit badass, and he has the look. The problem is he doesn't have the record to back up the fact that he's a badass, because we actually traced it back, and the last time Ryback had a pay-per-view win was what? Money in the Bank?
Money in the Bank.
So think about that. Money in the Bank. June of last
July.
Year. Almost July. Mm-hmm. So almost a year ago.
And trivia. He beat Curt Hawkins and Tyler Rex.
Wow.
Yep.
But, so it's like, you've had Ryback either not be on the show, or when he's on the show, he loses. So it's like, you really expect me to buy Ryback as this legit badass when he can't get the job done on the big shows? I mean, even WrestleMania, it's like, oh yeah, you did your shell shock to Mark Henry. That's impressive. You can pick Mark Henry up, but you still lost the damn match.
Mm-hmm. He hasn't won a big match on pay-per-view, because that's when people remember pay-per-view wins. He hasn't won a legit one ever. There has been not one legit victory on pay-per-view for Mark Henry. Not a single one.
You mean Ryback?
Ryback. Ryback. My bad. Ryback. Yeah, not a single one for Ryback on pay-per-view at all. None. There's zero. If you look back at the history, there are none. Zero.
Right, and it's, this is no offense to Ryback at all, but it's like he's walking around like he's been there 20 years and he's owed this. And it's like, my biggest qualm with this character is he walked out on a match. And it's like, who the hell are you to walk out?
Mm-hmm.
You haven't won jack shit as far as anybody's really concerned to be able to do that. It's
right.
Like, you walk around like you already have the title.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, I think to me, it's like they're trying to build him into something that he's really not, because honestly, he just doesn't have the credentials for it.
Nope.
He really doesn't, and so it's like you're sitting there, and every time I see him, it's just like, God, just go away.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's really just very, and I hate to be negative about him, and I hate to sit here and trash him, but it's like, you really can't find anything positive about him. Mm-hmm. other than he's built like a brick shit house.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Ryback rules the loss column. Yep, pretty much that's what it is. He does. He loses. He builds up losses. He's won on TV, but really hasn't really won. He beat Daniel Bryan, but he beat Zack Ryder, but it's like, and Kane. It's like, okay.
I will say the shell shock to Kane was impressive, just because that's picking up somebody his size or bigger and doing that too. Mm-hmm. So anytime he can successfully pull that off, that is definitely an impressive feat. I don't think though that it really does much else for him, other than it's like, oh look, you can pick up a really big guy and slam him. When he fights guys like Daniel Bryan and Zack Ryder, it's just like, it's the bully picking on the kid in the schoolyard.
Right. And now the flip side is they spent 18 months putting the belt back on Cena. He's not dropping it in 6 weeks.
No, it's not his Achilles. His heel is feeling better. They've taken great steps to protect him. And hopefully they keep this match really short, really sweet, and to the point, and they don't overexert Cena.
Big spots, big aggression. That's about it. Cena wins.
Yeah, I agree. Cena wins.
Now we go main event time, which won't be the main event, but is the actual main event on the show. Steel Cage Showdown, old school style, not with the blue bars, but it's Triple H and Brock Lesnar.
I'm actually really looking forward to this.
Me too. Why are you looking forward to it?
Because they can really have the match that they couldn't have at Mania, which is, they can really get into it because it's a contained environment.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I love false count anywhere matches, no holds bars matches, because it's like, you can go anywhere in the arena, but the problem is you can go anywhere in the arena, so a lot of times, it's really disorganized, it's really hard to follow, because they basically go out of the ring, or they stay in the ring.
Right.
With the cage match, at least, it's a contained environment, so it's a little bit easier to follow, you're not constantly looking for them, there aren't as many distractions.
Mm-hmm.
So they can really get in there and they can really beat on each other. And if Monday night was any example, it really sold that match, at least for me personally, because it's like, they've given this angst. They've given this passion. It's like, he said it. This has been going on for a year.
Mm-hmm.
A year. Think about that. This has been a year-long feud that they've been working on, and somebody has to win, and these guys hate each other so much that they're going to go into a cage and they're going to beat the crap out of each other until one of them wins.
Right.
Because one of them has to win. They will not settle for the fact that they've split it where Hunter has won one and Brock has won one. They refuse to accept those terms. It's they have to go one more time, and they have to beat the crap out of each other, and somebody's going to win.
They got to find out who the better man is.
And I love the fact that you had Brock go to Hunter's office and mess up Hunter's office. Love that. I love it when they do stuff like that, because it's like, it's taking them outside the WWE bubble of an arena, and it's putting essentially Brock Lesnar, the character, into a real life situation.
Right.
Because if you think about real life, Brock Lesnar wouldn't need an appointment to show up at WWE headquarters. He could basically do what he did, which is stroll in and do whatever he wants kind of deal. But it's like, think about that. Brock Lesnar, the Beast, walks into WWE headquarters, goes up to the fourth floor. Nobody stops him.
Mm-hmm.
Walks into Triple H's office. One guy tries to stop him and gets face-palmed, then face-desked.
The hard way.
The hard way, not by his own choice. And then Brock Lesnar picks up a sledgehammer and smashes Triple H's quote-unquote office. And again, nobody stops them. There's no security. There's no nothing. Basically, they built Brock Lesnar as the Beast incarnate. He's a legit badass, and he can do what he wants. They're basically trying to do with Ryback what they've done to Brock, and it just doesn't work.
Doesn't work. Brock Lesnar is legit badass. Some guy named Matt in our chat room goes, Brock better not lose. Brock better not lose. His credibility will go. He won't be a threat if he loses. I agree. Brock.
Oh, that Matt guy. He showed back up.
He, you know, he's too good for us right now. He's been hobnobbing all night with ODB and Tara.
Oh, he's been hobnobbing. Well, I'm so glad he came down from, you know, the... that you know, basically he came down from first class to third class to party with us.
Security gets scary when you get this guy higher. But yeah, call it, please. Spoiler.
Matt, you missed the Kane soundboard.
Yeah, you missed the Kane soundboard. It's awesome. We played it earlier. Anyway, I'm back on point. Yeah. Brock Lesnar's a beast. He's in the best shape of his life. He's going to destroy people.
I really want to see Brock win this match, and just so they can continue to build him, because it's like, I really want to see them turn Brock into the unstoppable force, where it's, he just shows up, he does what he wants, he beats who he wants, and he takes what he wants.
Right.
And you pitched it on WTR, where we kind of came up with the idea of, you have Brock Lesnar, and this is another idea for your title picture, you have Brock Lesnar win the WWE title.
Mm-hmm.
And then you don't see him. All you see is Heyman, and the only time you see Lesnar is on a pay-per-view. You have to pay to see Brock Lesnar. You have to pay to see the WWE champion. He doesn't get into scuffles. He doesn't fight. And it's like, if you want to see Brock Lesnar fight, he fights on a pay-per-view, and he fights every 30 days. Mm-hmm. I mean, treat it like a real... Because if you look at the way that they do the UFC belts, the champions don't fight every month. They fight every few months.
Right.
Because they have to heal up and train for their fights. So think about that, where it's, you know, Brock Lesnar, like, I forget, I think it was like Mace or Omega or somebody suggested.
It was Mace because we did it on the show.
Right, where it's, you treat it like the UFC belts, and you have Brock Lesnar defend every 60 days as opposed to every 30 days.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that.
Right. Yeah, they said Brock is an ass kicker, and he wasn't fighting for titles. But remember that title he had on his shoulder? He looked pretty good on that Raw.
He seemed to like having it too.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, yeah, it's, and you know what? You could do Brock Cena again, and you could have Brock get his win back against Cena, mm-hmm. if you really wanted to. It's like, you get Cena past Payback, and then you start maybe building towards SummerSlam of Brock and Cena.
Because the biggest question coming out is who is his next opponent? You need someone strong for Brock's next opponent, and there really isn't that many people on the roster that are on that level with Brock Lesnar.
Right, there really isn't. Aside from Cena, I don't think there really is anybody... That's face. I mean, if you want to bring Punk back and you have Punk be a face, which they're not going to do, you can do that, but...
You got Rock, you got Taker, you got Cena, maybe an Orton, maybe a Sheamus, but that's about it. Ziggler, no. Not on
I would argue Sheamus isn't on Brock's level. It would be neat to see those two mix it up and fight, but I don't think Sheamus is on Brock's level, and...
Yeah,
honestly,
but
I think... Brock would beat Sheamus all over town.
Oh, without question. But they're the only other guys you have on this roster that are on close to that level.
And I mean, this goes back to the point of, well, do you bring some of the part-timers back?
But you really can't.
Because Rock's done, and the only other one you really have is Taker.
And it's too soon for Taker.
Yeah, and Taker's probably going to get the Shield.
Mm-hmm. He's got to settle that issue before he does anything else, so, yeah.
And so maybe it's a good thing that after this match, Brock is going away for a little bit, and you can start to maybe build that credible challenger.
Right. Daniel Pewter. Bart.
Oh, dear God.
Brawl. No. Norman Smiley. The Big Wiggle.
Now, Matt makes an interesting suggestion of Mark Henry.
If they turn Mark Henry babyface, yes. That's the only way that will work, because you're not turning Lesnar face yet. You save that for Punk.
Well, even still, it's you basically have, you know, Mark Henry doing That's What I Do, I'm the World's Strongest Man, blah, 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 and you have Brock be like, oh, really? Yeah, not so much.
Right, yeah, but then again, you kill, if you do that, you kill the gimmick with Henry and you're done, but...
Yeah, I know, but still, it's like that's another possibility, but it's just, it's like, yeah, what do you do?
Right. And we'll see. But, yeah. Kane Kidd's, no. Corner. Brock Goldberg, corner. No.
Corner.
Mm-hmm.
They did that. It was a fail.
Yep.
We riffed it.
WildTalkRadio.com/WrestleMania. Anyway. I'm such a shameless shill.
You are such a shameless shill, but yeah. So, I've got to go with Brock on this one, just because, you know, at this stage, Hunter really can't take the loss.
Yeah, Brock.
And Brock's where your money is. It's sadly, it's not with Hunter, even though Hunter is still a draw.
Hunter's still a draw, but he doesn't need this win.
No, he doesn't.
So that's Extreme Rules Pick'em. We may have a prize. I don't know yet, but, you know. Come and join the fun, make your picks, send them to media@wildtalkradio.com and all that fun, happy stuff. Twitter, Facebook, you know the deal, so anyway.
And apparently Matt is becoming a cannibal.
All right, Matt, vlog it. Now I want Hunter to win just as Matt eats his leg.
Pictures or it didn't happen.
Mm-hmm. Next wing eating kind of my leg. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, we're gonna hold you to this, Matt. It's on record. If Brock loses, you will eat your leg.
Matt Goldberg will eat his leg.
Mm-hmm. It's on record. You know, we are going to hold you to this.
Now he's gonna go. Oh God, don't let Hunter win.
Your chicken. No, you said leg. You said leg. I have it in black and white. Black and white. I will eat my leg if he doesn't. That's... Doesn't matter. You be right or left. Doesn't matter. We're holding to eat your leg.
Ooh!
What?
Well, here's kind of breaking news.
Aha! Uh-huh. You found it, didn't you?
I did find it. Apparently, Michelle McCool is going to break her silence on her marriage to Taker.
Uh-huh.
In collaboration with MichelleMcCool.net, the four-time champion candidly addresses her relationship with the dead man in a video blog that will be released this summer. A teaser has been released where she appears to respond to critics attributing her lofty position in WWE to her influential partner rather than her ability to perform.
Do we want to hear this teaser?
No, we don't.
You sure?
Positive.
Okay.
I have the magic eight ball in my hand, and if I hear that come out of her mouth, it may go through my window. Just
yes, Kinkin, yes, you can call in to have a chat with him. Yes, by all means. Why is it news? Because she's speaking about Taker and they're married and that stuff.
Because it's basically they never have referenced that marriage. Ever. Yeah. Aside from the wedding pictures that broke, she's never talked about it. She purposely doesn't talk about it on her Twitter, so yeah. This is kind of interesting because I know WWE had an absolute shit fit when the pictures broke, so...
Thou shalt not talk about Taker. Because after all, he's Mark Calloway.
He is Mark Calloway, so... Well, I saw the story earlier where she was doing a vlog, mm-hmm. and I was like, oh, okay, cool, but it never said what she was really talking about.
Right. And now you know.
Oh, and apparently she's going to be talking about the baby girl, too.
Uh-huh. She's going to let you in on the person details.
I don't think I want to know. So prepare for things to be thrown, possibly as early as next week on the rack.
She said this summer, so it's probably going to be a few weeks.
Okay, well, expect things to be thrown.
By the way, speaking of next week, I want people to do this for me. Send me questions. We're going to do a segment next week that I'm throwing out there now called Ask the Rack. So email me questions to contact@rackradioshow.com, tweet them at Wild Talk Radio, or do them, you know, send them to me on Facebook. We will answer any question you have next week on the show. Anything. And don't wait till the last minute either. Get them in. Anything. We will answer anything on this show next week called Ask the Rack.
Yes, any questions, Cane Kittens. Any questions.
Anything. You want it, we will answer it. We will. That goes for you, Matt. Don't wait till, you know, Thursday to send them. Send us questions, like, tomorrow over the weekend. Send us questions. Ask the Rack.
The due date is Wednesday morning.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why we do this is, well, WWE is coming to Salt Lake next week.
Mm-hmm.
Get the bail money, too.
Right. So, we will answer any questions.
Yes, we will answer really.
We will answer anything. So get your questions ready. Send them to contact@rackradioshow.com, media@wildtalkradio.com. Just get them to me. And we will answer them on this show next week. We're doing a segment called Ask the Rack. I just really thought of it about a half hour ago. So we will answer them on the show. But you got to get them to me by Wednesday morning. So,
I'd like to point out that if you ask a smart-ass question, you will get a smart-ass answer.
Yes, this is true. We will give you the smartest of smart-ass answers if you ask a smart-ass question. So you've been warned. So get them to me at contact@rackradioshow.com, media@wildtalkradio.com, Twitter, and the Facebooks.
And the Facebooks. But now...
Now we do the segment called Ask the Magic 8-Ball.
Yes, Ask the Magic 8-Ball. Can you hear it, Matt? There it is.
There it is. So the question is, will Orb win the Preakness?
Will Orb win the Preakness? And the answer is... The point. Will Orb win the Preakness? See. My sources say no.
Ooh, so the Triple Crown hopeful ends at the Preakness. Okay, then. Which I believe is this Saturday.
Yeah, I think it is Saturday. Should I drive to Idaho tomorrow and buy a lotto ticket?
What does the Magic 8-Ball say?
It keeps giving me the point. It's indecisive tonight. Should I drive to Idaho tomorrow and buy a lotto ticket? Yes.
There you go. Matt asks, will Amazon stock the rest of the new WWE 2-packs?
Will Amazon stock the rest of the new WWE 2-packs? It is decidedly so.
If Lindsay Ward travels to Idaho and picks up this lottery ticket, will she win the lottery?
Will I win the lottery?
Doesn't say you're going to win the whole big thing, but, you know.
Outlook good.
You're going to win $3.
Hey. I'll take it. Yes, for those of you that don't know what I'm talking about, if you have it in your state, Powerball is up to $550 million. Go buy a ticket.
There you go.
And if you win, we get a cut.
Mm-hmm.
Will I get arrested at the WWE event next week for assaulting Kane? Better not tell you now. Hey, you know what, Matt? When you make your first million, we get a percentage, because, you know...
You know, we're awesome.
We're awesome like that.
And it's in the secret contract.
Yes, when you do an interview with us, it's in the secret contract.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Oh, he agrees. So there you go. We don't even need the secret contract. He says yes.
Sweet! And it's in the record. We can hold him to it.
Uh-huh. Will Lindsay get arrested for jumping Dean Ambrose?
God. Will I get arrested for jumping Dean Ambrose? without a doubt.
Bail money. Acer has one.
Bail money.
Will the Ottawa Senators overcome all the odds as the lone Canadian NHL team to advance themselves to the conference finals if they can beat the Pittsburgh Penguins in their series? And it is signs point to yes.
There you go. Oh, Matt.
Will Bill Cosby sing at the Rock's birthday party this year? You mean next year?
No, he's talking about my birthday party.
Your birthday party.
Because, you know, my birthday's next week. It's Thursday, to be exact.
Oh, shit, we're going to miss your birthday. And it's most likely.
Mm-hmm.
Will Taker get remarried after McRibs? It is decidedly so.
There you go.
Will he get married to me? Most likely.
This Magic 8-Ball's on crack. Sweet. Bill Cosby's going to come on this show and celebrate my birthday with me. Sweet. If you want to send birthday greens, you can leave a voicemail 267-297-1397. We'll play on the show. Anyway. Anything else you want to ask the Magic 8-Balls?
Closing segment, folks. Anybody else want to ask the Magic 8-Ball anything? Anything.
Lindsay and Bill, can I dance off?
He would beat me. Just saying. All right, going once, going twice. All right, Magic 8-Ball is closed.
Sold for another week. With that being said, I think it's time we wrap up, unless you want to rant about something.
I don't want to rant. I want to celebrate.
All right, go celebrate.
I got off of court. Yes!
Yep.
For anybody knowing, I got a traffic ticket. I had to go to court for it. And everything resolved nicely where I didn't have to pay a nice huge fine. So yay for that.
Yay!
And I took my Illustrator test out today, so everybody keep your fingers crossed that it went well.
Yep. And my little thing is, people, stop being oblivious to the obvious. That's all. So, ready to wrap this shindig up?
I am totally ready to wrap this shindig up.
Alright. So, I think Mace is playing video games tomorrow. I don't know. Maybe 9 p.m. Eastern. Check out the Facebook. It'll tell you. Saturday night, midnight-ish, CB Radio with myself, Rob Parks, and Subway. We talked about the weird, wacky, and the unusual. This past week, we talked about poopsenders.com. There's a website, poopsenders.com. Check it out. And we talked about clitoray.org. If you don't know what it is, check it out. Anyway. This Sunday, Russell Talk Radio, 11 p.m. Eastern, with Tim Stein, Mace Omega, myself, and Lindsay. We'll be covering everything that happens at Extreme Rules. Shitsenders.com or poopsenders.com. Where's going to be PJ? So there's that. So we'll cover Extreme Rules on WTR. Monday night's Raw Post Show, 11:30 p.m. Eastern. Tuesday night, Kayfabe Wrestling Radio, Mercedes Martinez, and a WWE former superstar will be on the show as well. Monday night, Cheap Heat Radio with Scott Barry and Matthew Forsina at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back for The Rack Thursday, 11 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Remember, ask The Rack questions. Send them to me. Contact at rackradioshow.com. Get me on Facebook or Twitters and that sort of thing, at Wild Talk Radio, Facebook.com, that's Wild Talk Radio Network. To ask The Rack next week on the show, you can go to WTRProductions.net. And if you are in the Chicago area on June the 8th at 5 p.m., it's a Saturday, go visit the Squared Circle where there will be a screening of Terrified, starring the lovely Terror, and it's created by the one, the only, this guy named Matt Goldberg. For more details, go to rackradioshow.com. Click on the fancy little banner on there. You'll get all the details about the screening, how to get to the squared circle and all that fun stuff. So go to RackRadioShow.com for all the details. It will take you to the event page on Facebook for all the details, because I can't, you know, give out the full address because I don't know it, and it's a lot of numbers. So check out our website and click the banner, and you can go see this terrifying screening of it. There's two airings, 5 p.m. and 10 p.m. on June the 8th. Lindsay.
Yes, go check out Terrified. Also, if you guys want an all-nighter rack, next week would be a better week to do an all-nighter because, well, I'm working Thursday night into Friday morning. Yay. I'm so excited. So we may do something, we may not. It all depends on how we feel and what we've got going on. But anyway, send us those questions for Ask the Rack. Get them in by Wednesday, no later than, I would say, 5 p.m. that afternoon.
Yes.
East Coast time. Please get them into us because, yeah, we're going to have to make special arrangements for the show next week because of my schedule. So get those into us, please. As Rock said, go see Terrified, go check out the Facebook page for Terrified, support Matt Goldberg, go watch Crash Collision Wrestling. It's awesome, it's fantastic. You have the patience of, I don't know, a saint for doing that. But other than that, go to RuckRadioShow.com, go to my Twitter at Linz Ward, LinsWARD, go to my website, psychwardesigns.com. I almost pit my Facebook, and I don't want to do that. But if you can find me on Facebook, good luck. And let's see what else. Go to Castorelli.net. Check that out. Congratulations to him for his show. It went very successful Saturday night. Details to be updated shortly. I know I keep saying that, but it's really going to happen this time, I swear. And of course, linsward.deviantart.com. And also check out our awesome sponsors. Sorry, I'm tired.
PWPA.com, MemLanePro.com, and you never know what this producer can pull out. You've been warned.
Yes. There are things coming, people. There are things coming. Just be aware.
Just beware. I know how to do things.
He can make magic happen. And they can be legendary, or sometimes, well, legends can kind of be killed.
So you never know what happens on this show.
Yeah.
Anyway, wrap us up.
Anyway, sorry for the crappy outro. I'm tired. I need to go to bed because I have to go to work in the morning. So anyway, for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com and RackRadioShow.com, PWMania.com. Thank you to our friends over at TNA Asylum. We hope to be back on there next week when the owners get back from vacation. I hope it was a lovely time. Thank you to everybody who's listening, and we will see you next week. Bye.
WildTalkRadio.com